أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وأتم في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق. In the previous ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the moment when Allah directed Ibrahim alayhi salam to the spot where the Kaaba should be built. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issued certain instructions to Ibrahim alayhi salam after the building of the Kaaba. The first was that no partner should be associated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this instruction was not directed to Ibrahim alayhi salam but to all those who were to come after him. Then the second instruction that he was given was to purify the Kaaba, to purify the house, and remove from around the Kaaba whichever idols were erected there. You should purify the house for those performing tawaf, those engaged in salah, whether they are standing, whether they are bowing, or whether they are in prostration. The next instruction was the instruction of Hajj that was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ayah number 27 of Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then informed Ibrahim alayhi salam to proclaim to all of mankind that they should perform Hajj, and that he should proclaim to them about the obligation of Hajj. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said to Allah azza wa jal that, O Allah, you have instructed me to invite all of mankind towards this house which I have constructed, but I am in an uninhabited land. There are very few people residing in this land. We spoke of the tribe of Jurhum yesterday. They came and settled in that region around the well of Zamzam. So who am I inviting? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam, you make the proclamation. You proclaim, you invite, and I will ensure that your invitation and your proclamation reaches the four corners of the world. So according to some narrations, Ibrahim alayhi salam stood on the maqam of Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim. And from there he proclaimed and he called out and he invited to all of mankind. He said to all of mankind that, proceed, come, make your way to the Baytullah, to the Kaaba, for indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated Hajj. According to another narration, he ascended Jabal Abu Qubais. Jabal Abu Qubais, Mount Abu Qubais. Not much of that mountain is left today, not too far away from the Kaaba. And he stood on that mountain. And from there he proclaimed and shouted out and miraculously, Allah magnified his voice, Allah magnified his invitation, and it reached the four corners of the world. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma explains that when we say labbaik, and we say the talbiyah, whenever we perform Hajj or Umrah, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, this is in response to the invitation of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What does labbaik mean? Labbaik means here I am. Labbaik is uttered when you are responding to somebody who called out to you. So you find also Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in, at times when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call out to them, they would say labbaik. So labbaik is uttered when you are responding to a call. So why are we saying labbaik? Because we are responding to the invitation of Ibrahim alayhi salam that was given to us thousands of years ago. Imagine what sincerity he proclaimed, whatever it was that he proclaimed, that up to this day, whoever performed Hajj or Umrah, they are accepting the invitation by proclaiming labbaik. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, after the construction of the Kaaba was completed, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, O Ibrahim, proclaim to all of mankind about the obligation of Hajj. Make it known to them that Hajj is obligatory upon them. And that's why we said all the Anbiya that came after Ibrahim alayhi salam, every one of them, they made Hajj. And they came to Baytullah and they circumambulated, they made tawaf at the Baytullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs him to invite all of mankind and to inform them of the obligation of Hajj. Ya'atuka. Allah says, they will come to you, O Ibrahim. They will come to this house of mine. They will come to the Kaaba rijalan, on foot. Wa ala kulli tamir, and they will come to you. And they will come for Hajj on every camel that has turned lean, that has become weak, meaning they will leave from home with a fat and healthy camel. But because the distance that they will cover and the journey that they will undertake will be so long and so difficult that by the time the camel reaches Baytullah, it will become lean and thin and weak. That's what meant by Bami. Wa ala kulli Bami. And they will come to you on every lean camel. Ya'teen, O Ibrahim, they will come min kulli fajjin amir, from every distant hilly pathway, from every distant land, they will come to you when you go for Hajj. You meet people there from all around the planet. You meet people there from countries and from villages and from locations that you did not know even existed. And you see the world in front of you, and you contemplate over this ayah. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will come to you, to Baytullah, from every nook and corner of the world. There are people there who have come for Hajj, who have not even traveled out of their own countries. They have not traveled out of their own country. Sometimes they have not even traveled out of their own cities or their own villages. The only journey that they had taken outside of the country, outside of the city, is the journey of Hajj. That is in response to the invitation of Ibrahim alayhi salam that he had proclaimed to all of mankind. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. They will come, O Ibrahim, why? So that they may witness benefits. They will certainly witness benefits for themselves. Now benefits here is plural. It refers to spiritual benefits, of course. When you go there, you are spiritually energized and you are quenching your spiritual thirst and you come back feeling spiritually healthy. So that is the first benefit and types of benefit that we enjoy when we go to Baytullah. It is one of the sources of spirituality, a very powerful source to have ourselves spiritually quenched and energized. The second benefit is worldly benefit. It is proven fact that nobody became a pauper and nobody became a poor person by spending on Hajj or Umrah. No matter how much a person spent on Hajj and Umrah, never did that become a means of a person becoming poor. You find people fell into debt, people became poor, people went into a state of need and want because of maybe spending on a lavish wedding, spending on a palatial home, spending on a very expensive vehicle perhaps. But never did a person ever become a pauper or a poor person by spending on Hajj and Umrah. In fact, the hadith says one of the ways to eradicate poverty from your life is to perform Umrah and Hajj. And whatever is spent on Umrah and Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at some point in your life, He gives it back to you. So that they may let them come, so that they may witness different benefits for themselves. وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. And so that they may take the name of Allah, mention the name of Allah during specified days. Which are these specified known days? The days when we slaughter. Every time you slaughter and when you sacrifice, you are taking the name of Allah. Bismillah, Allah Akbar. The objective of slaughtering is not the meat. That's an additional benefit. But the objective of slaughtering is, the slaughtering itself is a form of dhikr. A very great form of dhikr. When you are slaughtering that animal and you are uttering the name of Allah, and along with the utterance you are offering a sacrifice, that is a very great, great form of ibadah. And that's what Allah speaks of over here. وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ, and they will mention the name of Allah in أَيَّامِ الْمَعْلُومَاتِ, the 10th, 11th, and 12th, the days of sacrifice, slaughtering. They will take the name of Allah on what? عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. They will take the name of Allah over the cattle that we have provided for them, those animals that they are sacrificing. فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا. Allah says, eat from it also. Sacrificing it for Allah, that's a form of ibadah, but the meat is also lawful for you. فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا. Eat. And this, from here we understand the importance of eating from that qurbani animal, or the animal that we sacrifice when we go for Hajj or when we perform Umrah. If there is an animal that is sacrificed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, eat from that animal. That is no ordinary animal. So you must eat from it. Don't just discard it and don't just dispose of it and give the entire animal away. Give away as well, Allah says, but first eat from it. وَأَطْعِمُ الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرَ. And also feed the distressed one, the one who is in need, the poor person, the pauper. So you first eat from it. That's the first sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before distributing the meat, he first ate from the qurbani animal itself, from the animal that was sacrificed, and then he would distribute amongst the poor, his relatives, his family members, and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tisfakulu minha, eat from the animal, wa'at'imul ba'id al-faqir, and also feed the distressed one and the one who is poor. Allah ta'ala grant us the mercy.